life depletes us biochemically. If you have been through a great deal of stress and trauma, you will be low in neurotransmitters, right? Those feel-good chemicals. Your adrenals, which make adrenaline and cortisol, may be depleted, and that will impact how you feel. So doing therapy, I'm always in favor of like going to a great therapist. And there's this whole other piece that our modern culture doesn't really like easily give us a lot of information about, aside from, well, here, take Klonopin, or here, take Prozac, right? There's a much more holistic way of looking at all of this and rebuilding a depleted system.
Welcome to the Rising Beyond podcast, where you can find hope and healing after a toxic or abusive relationship. I'm Sybil Cummin, a licensed professional counselor specializing in working with victims and survivors of domestic violence and narcissistic abuse, including the youngest witnesses. Over the past decade, I have been honored to witness victims move to survivors and then to thriving in their lives. If you feel alone in your healing process, are dealing with the onslaught of post-separation abuse, or just needing some validation that you are not crazy, you are in the right place. I'm sure you all know how much the constant stress of narcissistic abuse and post-separation abuse impacts your body. Yep, y'all can feel it. So how is it that we really put our sole focus on healing just our mental health? But it's all connected. Our physical health, our mental health, and our spiritual health are all connected. Today, we are looking at a more holistic model of healing, specifically how nutrition impacts our mental health, our physical health, and our spiritual health. Today, I am talking with my newfound friend, Stephanie Small, about how to use nutrition to improve your overall well-being. Stephanie is a licensed clinical social worker, a somatic psychotherapist, and a functional nutritionist, helping people reconnect to their wild and essential truths. She runs a private practice, Las Lobas del Corazon, which is a holistic psychotherapy and health clinic that exists in order to make deeper and more effective healing available for everyone, regardless of income. She holds a BA from Yale and her MSW from Smith College for Social Work, and she has multiple certifications in various disciplines and modalities, including holistic nutrition education and mental health nutrition. She has a 5-week online course called Supplements and Nutrition for Mental Health that she is going to share some of that information with us and all of her experience in this more holistic way of healing. I learned so much in my short time talking with Stephanie. I know you all are going to learn a lot too. Let's welcome Stephanie to the Rising Beyond podcast. Stephanie, welcome to the Rising Beyond podcast. I am so excited to have this conversation today.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. So there are so many challenges that survivors of relationship abuse have to deal with, especially if they're dealing with post-separation abuse. So I want to give them every possible advantage, every resource that they can have to get through this, heal, and find kind of that wholeness or wellness. And we are talking about mental health nutrition and how you can use nutrition as a tool to help you heal.
Nutrition, and I would add supplements, because a lot of times when people hear this statement, mental health nutrition, they think I'm going to tell them to eat more salads. And they're like, I already know I should have more vegetables. And actually, there's an aspect of nutrition to this. There's ways of eating actually that can cause or exacerbate things like anxiety, depression, insomnia, even cravings, and ways of eating that can mitigate that. But there's also a big supplement component. So think, I can't say medicine about what I do because I'm not a doctor, but think natural medicine for mental health.
Yeah. And I think that that's so good, because there is a fear of my audience of if they are actually taking a medicine, a psych med, that will be used against them. Mm. No one's going to be like, oh, you're taking vitamin D, so you're not a good parent.
Right.
Like, right. What?
That's a really interesting point about the specific audience that we're talking to today that I didn't know and hadn't thought of. So, I mean, it's an important conversation to have just for the purposes not only of finding natural approaches, but for maybe a stealth approach.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so I'm really excited about this today. And I had a conversation with Stephanie last week, and I learned more in 10 minutes about this than I knew starting what? Out. So I am so excited. So share with us, what is mental health nutrition, or why is this important? Why is it important mm-hmm. to focus on what we're putting in our bodies?
Mm-hmm. These are great questions to start with. Mental health nutrition is the art and science, because it's both, of using supplements and nutrition to stabilize someone's biochemistry. So the way things are working physiologically in the body. And in doing so, ideally reduce or eliminate mental health symptoms, everything from anxiety to depression to insomnia to substance cravings, to sugar cravings, to OCD, to bipolar, to PTSD. Yes, I have worked successfully with people with all of these presenting symptoms just using natural approaches. Yeah. It's important because, you know, I am a somatic psychotherapist. So most of my practice is therapy, although I do a lot of mental health nutrition, and I've seen hundreds of people over the years for mental health nutrition. So if someone is coming to me and they're saying, I need to see you because I have anxiety, insomnia, and sugar cravings, and they're assuming we're going to be doing therapy about it, mm-hmm. right? Well, guess what? All of these can have biochemical causes too. They may be entirely biochemical and not emotional. So if we're doing therapy for the anxiety, but it's really due to being depleted in GABA, which is a neurotransmitter that tells your adrenaline to calm down, which, by the way, everyone who's had a lot of stress is depleted in. If it's due to dysregulated blood sugar, when our blood sugar drops, adrenaline fires, that's anxiety, right? But we're doing, you know, nervous system regulation practices instead, we're not going to be getting to the root of the issue. So this is why I embed mental health nutrition on the front end of my work with all of my clients. I often do just mental health nutrition with clients who are already seeing a therapist, but this is why I feel so passionate specifically about therapists knowing these protocols, but really just anyone, just the average person knowing life depletes us biochemically. Mm-hmm. If you have been through a great deal of stress and trauma, you will be low in neurotransmitters, right? Those yeah. feel-good chemicals. Your adrenals, which make adrenaline and cortisol, may be depleted, and that will impact how you feel. So doing therapy, I'm always in favor of like going to a great therapist. And there's this whole other piece that our modern culture doesn't really like easily give us a lot of information about, aside from, well, here, take Klonopin, or here, take mm-hmm. Prozac, right? There's a much more holistic way of looking at all of this and rebuilding a depleted system.
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was like, check, check, check. All of my audience, it is constant hypervigilance, constant yep. anxiety, because the abuse continues just, yep. you know, even after they've left. And so they are likely so, so depleted in yep. many things because their situation doesn't allow them to rebuild and to become, I guess, whole.
Yes.
Because it's that constant process.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the idea that when we are away from the trigger, whether it's an abusive partner or alcohol, right, mm-hmm. that's depleting us, or like a really stressful school situation that's depleting us, the idea that when we're away from it, our system can naturally rebuild, it works sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I meet with clients all the time who, you know, they'll reference events that happened years ago, and they say, I was never the same since then. Mm-hmm. My focus ever since then has never come back. My sleep has never come back. My energy level has never come back. You know, my mood has never been as stable. So that's a system that actually wasn't able to rebuild on its own. And that's where supplements and nutrition for mental health can come in.
Yeah. And I think that that is where a lot of my audience is. Some of it is because it's ongoing, but we have our OGs that are 7 or 8 years out they still have to have contact in some way. Yeah. So there's still some minor forms of abuse, but they really know how to do the thing. They know how to communicate. They are confident in that arena and yet still get exhausted so much quicker than they used to.
Yep.
Will maybe be more irritable, sleep issues. I would say the most common issue with our entire audience is likely stomach issues.
Yes.
That's a huge one, right?
Yes. Like
we talked about, right, going to court and how you're going to go to the bathroom. You're going to be in and out of that bathroom like 10 times. And that to kind of normalize that. So yes, everyone, Stephanie will talk to me about poop. Yes, people don't talk to me about poop.
Good.
So yeah, those are some of the things that my audience experience all the time. Where would you start if someone is really interested in using nutrition and supplements to help them through this? Where is a good place to start? Because they could just go to like Vitamin Cottage and just like look around and throw a bunch of stuff in their cart
completely.
And have no idea what's going on.
Completely. Very often when people try to DIY, you know, natural medicine, it's throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, oh, I read an article that if I have insomnia, I should take melatonin. Oh, well, I tried it and it didn't work. And it's like, well, yeah, that's only going to help if you have insomnia because you're low in melatonin, right?
Yeah.
So it's about the, and now I have to zoom back out and explain like a theory before I zoom back in and answer your question. So well, I think we're really conditioned, at least in America, you probably have listeners from all over the world, but I can speak for America. We're conditioned in America to have a one problem, one solution model, right? How often do we hear this? Like three easy steps to fix, blah, blah, blah. And we want those easy steps. So it shows up in the mental health world, like you have anxiety, take Klonopin. You have depression, take Prozac, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call the conventional medicine or the allopathic approach, right? Symptom, suppress the symptom. Headache, take Advil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stomach ache, take Pepto-Bismol, right? Now, this is, we're going to reach for what we know about, what we can. I'm not criticizing this. It's not bad. The naturopathic approach, though, the natural medicine, the holistic approach that I advocate for recognizes that the symptom, so the headache or the depression or the stomach ache, it's information that there's something out of balance in the system, right? So we don't want to suppress it. We want to find the root imbalance and heal that. So taking anxiety, right? Do you have anxiety? You know, there can be emotional reasons, right? There can be systemic reasons. Like none of us are really living in the way we were designed to live. And the world is a hard place to live in right now, right? But biochemically, I can think off the top of my head of like six different reasons for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. So zooming back in, what I would say is where do we start? We start with that perspective. And then what you were just mentioning about digestion is the perfect segue because actually I start with digestion.
Yes. And why are tummies like a really good, I guess, I don't know if assessment, but it's like a really good place to start because so much happens in there.
Yes. We start with, I'm going to say the gut. The gut really is the large intestine, but we also use it to refer to the whole digestive system. So I'm going to say the gut. We start with the gut because the gut is the gateway to health.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm teaching my course live, I like make my students chant this. The gut is the gateway to health. And you are what you absorb. You are what you eat, but you really are what you absorb. So there's actually a whole field of study that you can read books about and listen to podcasts about the connection between digestive function and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
If our digestion is not working well, chances are we are not going to be feeling optimal emotionally and physically. So there's three little pieces I like to say about this to my clients when I'm teaching them about the connection and to my students when I'm teaching them about the connection. The first is nutrient deficiency alone can cause mental health symptoms. And there's hundreds and hundreds of studies linking like nutrient deficiency to anxiety and, you know, even things like schizophrenia. Why would we be low in nutrients? One, we're not eating enough. Two, we might not be actually absorbing them.
Mm-hmm.
If we have diarrhea, if we have constipation, if we have bloating, how well are we actually absorbing the nutrients? So yeah. Some of our emotional symptoms can be simply that. Another is that our large – this is actually the fact I think we talked about last time where you're like, I learned so much. The large intestine – is where we make a lot of our neurotransmitters, those feel-good chemicals.
Yes.
In fact, most of the serotonin that's made in our body is made in our large intestine. So again, if we're dealing with digestive problems, if we're blocked up from constipation, or we're evacuating everything so quickly, you know, from diarrhea or things like this, how well are we making neurotransmitters? And it happens again and again with clients where they come in, they report, you know, low neurotransmitter related symptoms. Their gut is a mess. We get their gut working better. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm not having panic attacks anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not having obsessive thoughts anymore. Oh, my mood is more stable. My energy is better just from that.
Yeah.
And then the third little piece I always like to let people know, and there's so much more, but I'm like, the third little piece I like to let people know has to do with inflammation. And inflammation, you know, it's an immune response. It's good. If you hit yourself, you know, white blood cells rush to the site. They perform their healing. You know, you get swelling. But we can have chronic inflammation in our body for a number of reasons, including stress.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have chronic inflammation in our gut, which can occur from stress, which can occur from our diet, which can occur from drinking, the inflammation actually flips on switches that can cause anxiety and depression, which is why nowadays you might know, you know, psychiatrists are starting to prescribe anti-inflammatories. They're mm-hmm. starting to prescribe antihistamines. That's based on that inflammation connection. But to me, that's that medical allopathic way. Like, let's suppress the inflammation rather than let's find out why it's happening and heal it from the ground up.
Yeah. And I was thinking, this might age me. It's totally cool with my 43 years of life. When I graduated from my graduate program, I graduated in 2007 with my master's degree, mm-hmm. you know, right? We take biopsychology, we take all these courses on that, and it's solely focused on your head, on your head. And so, right, we do talk about all the neurotransmitters in our brain. And even when we are looking at psychopharmacology, I had this belief that almost all of it was in your brain. And I think that is a really common assumption or thought. Mm-hmm. And so to learn that, no, actually, it is throughout your whole body, but specifically your gut. And, you know, you hear, you know, I can like hear the Activia song in my head, right? Like Activia, like commercials, like why gut health is so important, right? There's commercials left and right, but they don't tell you why gut health is important. Mm-hmm. They're like, feel better, totally. Drink my yogurt.
And listen, if they have enough money for a commercial, I don't know if that's the product you want to be taking. Right? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right? It's like, so there's all these like messages out there with no understanding of what the messages are. Yeah. Why are we doing what we're doing? None of that is out there.
It's more of that like, oh, you have a symptom, just do something about it.
Yes.
That throwing the spaghetti at the wall, like that. And so what you were saying about when people go to the store and they're like, let me just get some supplements that I think will help, the throwing the spaghetti at the wall. Again, there's not the understanding of what's the root cause. What are you trying to address and what's out of balance? And it's the same thing with the Activia. It's like, well, I'm eating the yogurt because the commercial said it's good. It's like, well, but why? Like, what do you have going on that you're trying to treat? And how's the yogurt helping?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think just having, I mean, similar, I feel like the majority of, I don't know how else to say it's like problems. First step, like when healing from domestic violence, narcissistic abuse is education. That is the first step.
Yes.
Psychoeducation. And so that is really the first step here too, is really doing some learning on this so that you're not just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to throw this in my cart. This told me that my skin and nails are going to be beautiful. And this told me that it's going to help with my sleep and that, right, all the things, because you see the commercials, or if you start talking about it, in your like social media feed, all of a sudden these things are going to pop up and you're like, yes, mm-hmm. I need that. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea why.
And it's happened to me quite a few times that I'll work with a client on mental health nutrition and they come in the first time and, you know, I talk to them about like, well, we're going to work on digestion first and then we're going to look at nutrition. And often just doing those two things helps so much. Mm-hmm. But if we're still not where we want to get, we're going to use supplements to help you make more neurotransmitters, specific supplements. And we talk about the supplements a little bit and they say, oh, I tried that before, but it didn't help. I'm like, okay. And then I look at their digestion questionnaire. I'm like, yeah, no crap.
Yes.
This is why it didn't help, because you're not absorbing anything. You know, you have like bloating, you have nausea, you have skin issues, which actually indicates gut issues, you know? And so then we work on healing the gut and then we do the supplements. And what do you know? It actually helps now.
Yeah. So do you have people do things like blood work first? How do you kind of determine where they are deficient or maybe mm-hmm. where they're overficient? I don't know what that word is, where they have too much of something.
Well, I don't do blood work. I paint with very broad strokes. I have my clients use questionnaires that they answer. And actually, I'm going to be talking later and sharing with your listeners about a 5-module online on-demand course that I have that I developed called Supplements and Nutrition for Mental Health. And in that course, I actually include some of the questionnaires that I use, which are self-assessments where you can look at and go, oh, actually, my digestion is not working very well. And, you know, ratings around symptoms that you experience. I find that that works really well for most people. Every so often, there's someone where they, perhaps it's a more complex issue. And so then I refer them to a naturopathic doctor for testing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that part of my goal, I mean, even just having a podcast, is to make the healing strategies and all the information mm-hmm. accessible.
Yes.
To everyone. And yes. I know that's something that you and I share, a value system that this information should not be privileged only,
yes.
you know. And so I think allowing, you know, being able to find other ways and to really hone into our clients' expertise on them,
mm-hmm.
that gives such a greater, I guess, access to being able to heal in this way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something else about the medical and mental health industrial complex, I will call it, is that it's disempowering,
mm-hmm.
right? You have the practitioner who holds all the knowledge and then you go in and you get a pill and I don't really know what this is, but I take it. I mean, how often am I asking my clients, okay, you're taking this medication, what neurotransmitter does it work on? And they say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What other situation would you just take something where someone's like, here,
yes.
and not do your own research? But we just ascribe this authority to practitioners. And it's really disempowering to me. And so that's also something else I love about mental health nutrition is it's grassroots and it's taking the power into your own hands and it's education. What I always say when I'm teaching a course or giving a talk or giving a podcast is I'm like, I ask people who are participating, please remember 3 facts from this and tell at least 3 people this week those 3 facts, because that's how we have to spread this information in the mycelial way.
Yes.
You know, in the grassroots way.
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's so important because there is that idea. I mean, people see us as therapists, as a person in a position of power, which we do have some of that power, right? Mm-hmm. And I am an expert on certain things, but my clients mm-hmm. are an expert on their life and their bodies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so this method of kind of working is really about being a team, like working together
yes.
as a team.
Yes.
To help them in this kind of arena. So
yeah,
when we think of this audience, right, they are consistently getting bombarded with threats of, could be physical violence, could be financial violence, could be, and the most threatening for my audience is the threat of their children being taken from them. That's probably the greatest threat. So they've got that coming from their ex-partner. They've got the overall system saying we'll protect you and then they don't really do that.
No.
So they're constantly in this space of, I don't know who to trust, and they don't trust themselves very often initially. So I do think that they look to experts for help because they don't trust themselves. But as they are learning about this, what are some areas? So we kind of know where to start. We're going to start with the gut. But what types of nutrition or what are things they can expect or supplements they can expect might be introduced to them to help with, again, I was like thinking the adrenals are just like kaput. They are so exhausted and things like that.
Yeah. Well, with the gut, you know, as you were mentioning, stress is going to cause gut issues. And so I would imagine that anyone who's, well, almost anyone who's dealing with these kinds of situations is going to need some gut repair and perhaps ongoing, right? Because there's that continual bombardment. The next thing we would talk about would be nutrition. And because I'm also a therapist, probably I'm not the nutritionist that tells people not to eat things. That doesn't usually work. And it's stressful. So yes. I'm more about adding in. And I like to talk about two things in broad strokes with nutrition. One has to do with blood sugar, and one has to do with inflammation.
Yep, we just had balloons fly across our screen, everyone. Not sure why. Celebration.
Well, so this happens to me. This hasn't happened to me on this platform, but when I use Zoom, randomly balloons will float up. And so I decided with my clients, whatever I just said, that's the universe like underlining it.
Yeah. So y'all, you are listening to
pay these attention.
Two parts of the nutrition that we are going to talk about right now.
underline.
Yes.
Blood sugar regulation and anti-inflammatory diet. Blood sugar. Yeah. That was like this whole bunch of colorful balloons just floated up. I love that.
Yes.
It makes what we do a little more fun, right? We don't
Absolutely.
Have tons of fun in what we do. Okay. So blood sugar. This is actually something that when I give talks, I get so fired up about people remembering because it's an easy thing to remember and it's literally life-changing for people. I will act it out. Like when I'm in front of people, I'm like, I want you to remember this so badly that I'm actually going to physically act it out, you know, so that it sticks in your head. So let's talk about blood sugar 101. When you eat something, blood sugar goes up, right? If you eat carbohydrate, and remember, carbohydrate is fruit, vegetable, grain. So that can be apple, broccoli, brown rice. That can be Pop-Tart, soda, pasta, gummy bears, right? If you eat just carbohydrate, your blood sugar is going to spike. And a lot of us probably know that, right? We know when we eat something sugary or something that breaks down quickly as sugar, our blood sugar spikes. When our blood sugar spikes, that's a state in the body that the body doesn't really know what to do with. Because if you think ancestrally, and I'm always talking ancestrally, you know, what did we used to do? Because that's what we evolved to do, and we're not doing that anymore. And that's a lot of the problem. So ancestrally, when were we spiking our blood sugar? Really, just if we lived in cold climates, you know, when the fruit was ripe and we would eat the fruit before the fall, and it would give us an extra layer of fat going into the winter. Yay, we wanted that. So the body, when the blood sugar spikes, the body overcompensates and it causes the blood sugar to crash. This is like a very simplified version, but this is how I like to talk about it. So when the blood sugar is low, let me ask you, Sybil, when your blood sugar is low, how do you feel?
Oh, I do get hypoglycemic, so I am shaky. I feel super agitated, right? Like the term hangry comes into play. Yeah, I have a really hard time with concentration. Yeah, completely agitated.
Yes. Yes. So now you're going to find out what's actually happening biochemically that's causing that. So when the blood sugar's low, people often report things like you just reported. People also report things like poor focus, low energy, cravings, right? So what's happening is the blood sugar drops. And we have those, the initial symptoms are things like poor focus, low energy, and some people can even feel depressed, actually. Sometimes I feel depressed when my blood sugar's low. Then the body wants to raise the blood sugar again. How is it going to do that? Well, a really quick way is firing adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in fight or flight, you need fuel.
Right? Yes.
So the adrenaline is everything you just said. The hangry, the jittery, the anxiety. Some people have panic. Some people have rage.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have experienced like the rage when they're hungry. I remember, I'll never forget this. I gave this talk to an audience where like a lot of the people were Latin, and the moderator, I was on a panel, the moderator was Latin. And I said, how do you feel when your blood sugar's low? And she's like, violenta. I'm like, see.
Yes.
So there goes the rage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cherry on top of this dysregulated blood sugar sundae is when we have our adrenaline going, when we're in fight or flight, the prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that governs reason, logic, impulse control, shuts off. Mm-hmm. We can't access it as easily, right? That's why when we're hungry, we make these decisions we wouldn't make if we were not. So you can see why this all can look like anxiety. I have anxiety, mm-hmm. or I have depression. Or I have these uncontrollable sugar cravings. Oh, but I'm skipping meals or I'm not eating enough, right?
Yeah.
You know, this can even cause insomnia. In fact, last night, perfect example, I didn't eat enough protein at bedtime. And we'll talk in a moment about what stabilizes blood sugar. I didn't eat enough protein at bedtime. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was just awake. And I'm like, oh, I need more protein. My adrenaline's spiking.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate protein. I fell right back asleep. So how do we mitigate this? We eat regularly. We eat enough and we eat adequate protein. Protein stabilizes blood sugar. So this is something easy and accessible that everyone can do that will help with mood and energy and cravings. So that's one. And I'll pause before we go into anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I was going to say that just consistent feel of when you are eating more regularly. Mm-hmm. And that is what I do, because otherwise people don't want to be around me because I'm a mess. And yes, that protein. So if you feel, right, you're on the roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah.
You're on that roller coaster of emotions. This is probably a really good place to start.
Yes. It's so important. And people don't do it, right? For whatever reason, whether they're in a rush in the morning or they're trying to eat less to lose weight, you know, which we know doesn't work. You know, it's like people are like, oh, I have real bad anxiety in the morning. And I'm like, what are you eating in the morning? Nothing. Or coffee, which is firing adrenaline, or a pastry from Starbucks, you know, or people now they're doing intermittent fasting so much and it really doesn't work for a lot of people for this reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And functioning. So our focus today too is on functioning, not specifically what your body looks like. Cause I think specifically most of my audience are women.
Mm-hmm.
And we, for lots of reasons that we can't do in the podcast today, because it's not long enough podcast, but the focus is on our bodies and what it looks like, not how it functions.
Yes.
So we are really focused on function, everyone.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. This information has been life-changing for so many people that I've worked with, just the blood sugar stuff. So I hope everyone remembers it. And I don't know if you want me to touch on the anti-inflammatory stuff, and I can make it a lot shorter too.
Yes. So the anti-inflammatory piece is for selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. For me, I have some medical tests that I've been doing. I do have more inflammation, right? Mm-hmm. Some autoimmune possibilities. And so it is. It's like, F, I've got inflammation in my dang joints that is really not awesome. It really sucks.
Yeah.
So yes, I think, and because so many with chronic trauma, which is my audience, right? Because it is ongoing forever. They do experience more heightened or more common kind of chronic illness with it as well. So I think it can be helpful for our audience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought in the pain part, because a real, really common result of inflammation is chronic pain. And the more people find that out, the better. Because guess what? That is not, your doctor is not likely to tell you that, you know, or like they might say it's inflammation, but you get an anti-inflammatory as opposed to looking at your diet and going, do you know you're eating in a way that's prompting inflammation, right?
Yes.
Or telling you stress causes inflammation, right? Which we can only do so much about in certain situations. So there, I mean, again, my mind is like, and I'm like, reel it in. What can you say for 2 minutes about anti-inflammatory diet? The first thing I'll say is I would go back to digestion, because if your digestion is robust and working well, you are going to be much more likely to break things down well. That if your digestion is out of balance, it just won't be as strong, right? And we'd rather have the digestion working well and being able to tolerate more than have to cut out lots of foods because we're sensitive to them, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really sad. I'm like, oh, I really would like my burgers and my steak and all of my red meat that I love. So how can I do that? Not as much.
Well,
and still do that.
I don't really see red meat as inflammatory. I think that it goes to quality, right? I mean, a lot of our ancestors were eating red meat. There are some people that don't do well with red meat. There are some people that need it. And if they don't get it, they're not going to feel good. And I find a lot of patterns with blood types with this. I find blood type O, like, they're carnivores. You know, they don't do well if they don't get the red meat. So probably something maybe to moderate, but really that's not the main culprit, I feel, with inflammation via food. So what we think about, again, is if we go back to how we ate ancestrally versus how we eat today, a lot of the modern foods and the modern processing methods, our body hasn't evolved to be able to digest. So like sugar. Sugar was not in our diet ancestrally. And it has such an interesting history. Like, it, you know, when it was in Europe in the Middle Ages, it was like prized as a rare spice. And it was like, ooh, you have sugar. You know, sugar is highly inflammatory. Things like artificial sweeteners, things like artificial colors, basically anything that's modern, you know, made in a modern way. But also things that our ancestors ate that we're processing differently, like wheat and dairy. So wheat, I have a whole spiel I give about wheat, and I won't go into it now. But what I will say is, in America, the wheat that we're eating today bears very little resemblance to the wheat that your ancestors were eating. And for a lot of reasons, it's extremely irritating to the body nowadays. And same with dairy. Dairy, really, only if you have ancestry from a dairying culture, which is Northwestern Europe, do you even have the genes to digest dairy. So this idea that in the food pyramid, we should have however many servings of dairy a day is totally inaccurate if you're not Northwestern European. So think about that. If you're Asian, if you're African, if you're Native American, and you're doing what conventional nutrition tells you, and you're eating dairy, and then you have chronic pain and congested sinuses and feel sluggish and have anxiety, maybe think about that. That's not an ancestral food for you.
Yeah.
But even modern milk is not processed. You know, we didn't process our milk ancestrally. We drank raw milk, which is actually a superfood. So there's a lot online, actually, that people can research about anti-inflammatory diet. So I'll kind of leave it there just for the sake of time.
Yes. Yeah. It's, and I, if in an ideal, well, not in an ideal world, but if it was magic world, we'll put it that way, because that's different. In my magic world, I could just eat like a child. Like, I would really like to eat mac and cheese and chicken fingers and PB&J.
Yeah.
Like, that would, I would be like so happy. And then I would have my steak and burgers every now and then. But that is not what makes my body feel good.
Exactly.
That doesn't make my body feel good. So I can't do that, right? If I want to live well. And so I think that actually brings me to a thought of, one of the things that we focus on as we, you know, as survivors are healing through this, is really focusing on learning themselves, like finding their sense of self, again, finding their intuition. And I think that that transitions into this as well, of knowing yourself. Like, very often I will ask, you know, people like, well, what, you know, if you had a breakfast that you felt really good the rest of the day, or, you know, until your next meal, what would that be? No, people don't even know. People can't even tell me what that is. And so I think there's a lot of that really focusing on, like, really focusing inward on, when do I feel good?
Yes.
What makes my body function well?
Yes. Because with trauma, right? You are in situations where you have to disconnect from your body. You have to disconnect from the wisdom of your body in order to survive. So when I work with people who have had significant trauma, sometimes things will happen where, you know, they come in and we talk about their digestion. We talk about what they're eating. And I find out, let's say they're eating a lot of wheat, right? It's like cereal for breakfast and sandwich for lunch. And I'm like, I don't know that wheat is doing you any favors. You know, it's pretty inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And I talk about the connection between inflammation and mental health symptoms. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know. Whenever I eat wheat, I have diarrhea or constipation. And if I go for a few weeks without it, I feel a lot better. I'm not as bloated. I have better energy. And I'm like, so doesn't that tell you yes. that your body doesn't like wheat? But making that last little plug in there of like, that equals your body saying no. That piece is often missing when people have experienced a lot of trauma, right?
Yes.
That no, your body's saying no.
Yeah. And to really listen. And I am a working mom, super busy, rushing around, like mornings are, you know, just the busy, busy, busy. But what are some, I guess, strategies for those busy, because a lot of my audience are single working moms. Yeah. Any quick tips, strategies to leave them with of kind of to help them on the fly, right? Because they are busy, busy.
I don't know if I'm going to say anything that people don't already know about, right? Like batch cooking. We know about batch cooking. But one of the things that I will say is that often when people want to begin embarking on a path of health in this way, they'll overwhelm themselves.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to say is caution against that. If you decide you want to start bringing in more nourishing food, don't say, oh, I'm going to make an omelet with these 5 vegetables in it and, you know, a side salad for breakfast. No, keep it simple. give yourself permission to keep it really simple, right? Like boil a bunch of hard-boiled eggs and leave them in the fridge and have some fruit and have some carrots in hummus, right?
Just things you can grab. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too with that overwhelm of like, especially if trauma is, you don't want to look there because that's hard and that's hard work and it's just this constant thing. I have seen survivors shift to solely then focusing on nutrition and being hyper-focused there or hyper-focused, and it does overwhelm.
Right.
It does overwhelm.
Right. And then, you know, that's not dealing with the fear, because if we're hyper-focusing on anything, it's fear that's fueling that, right? So it's like, even if it's something quote-unquote better for us that we're hyper-focusing on, there's still something inside that needs to be tended to. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't talk in this podcast about where I'll start is like, I'm part of a paleo food swap. And so myself and some people will meet, I don't go every week, but you know, maybe a couple times a month on a Tuesday, and we make a bunch of jars of a paleo dish and then we swap. So we've done that batch cooking, but then we're getting a lot of other people's flavors that we eat throughout the week. And I want to speak to the systemic fracturing that has happened in our culture and how difficult it makes it to implement changes. Mm. What you just said about what are tips for busy single moms? Like, well, shit. I'm sorry. Well, crap. Like,
oh, we cuss on here. We cuss on here.
Okay. Well, shit. Right. And so there's a way that talking about mental health nutrition, just in this isolated individualistic way, it's a bit neoliberal. It's a bit like, well, make your green juice and sip it. And like, fuck, I don't have time to make a fucking green juice. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I want to acknowledge and honor that. And like, I'm constantly talking about this, you know, in with my clients and in the groups that I run and in my personal life. I want to make a strong call to returning to more of a mutual aid and collectivist orientation. And like, do you have neighbors where like you can just swap some food sometimes? You know, and make it easy like that. Like, we have to start calling in our communities to support each other.
Yes.
We cannot continue living in this isolated, fractured way.
Yes. Yep. And that, right, just even creating the Rising Beyond community is trying to help people find community that don't feel like they have it around them. So I very much agree that finding our people, and I would love it to be in your location because that would make it so much easier, and finding your community somewhere is important.
Yeah.
So Stephanie, we could talk all day long about all these things, but we have a time limit, but I do want to give people you as a resource. So where can they find you? I know you have something really kind of specific for our audience.
Yes. So my websites are stephaniesmallhealth.com. So it's just my name, Stephanie Small, and the word health.com. I also have a holistic psychotherapy and health clinic called Las Lobas del Corazón. So for the non-Spanish speakers, that's LasLobasdelCorazon.com. And I also have an offer for your audience, which is, so I have taken two certifications in nutrition. I have been practicing mental health nutrition for 10 years. I have studied it a lot on my own. I've distilled it, like all of the greatest hits and the most important points, into a little 5-module online on-demand course called Supplements and Nutrition for Mental Health. You've heard how I speak today. I speak in a, I hope, a pretty accessible way. This isn't complex, you know, anatomy, physiology stuff. I have everyone from therapists to nurses to community organizers to interested parents take this course. I want it to reach as many people as possible. It lives on my Stephanie Small Health website under education and then under courses. And my offer for your listeners is, if you enter the code Rising Beyond, and I'll capitalize the R and B, so the code will be Rising Beyond, that will be a 20% off coupon for the course. And I'll, how about just that's good for 2024, the whole year of 2024, but buy it soon if you're thinking of it, because you'll forget it. And it's really helpful information.
Yes. And if you're not listening to this right when it goes live in early 2024, that means you have the whole year. If you're listening to this in November, right before the holidays or something, you can still grab that. And all of that information, all the websites, all the links, all the things, including the promo code, will be in the show notes of this show. So just look below for that. I know that this will be helpful to so many of my audience. So Stephanie, thank you for having the conversation with me today.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. As you can tell, I love spreading this information. And I welcome anyone who's listening. If you found nuggets that you realizing are going to be transformational for you or for someone in your life, please just email me and tell me. I love getting that feedback.
Yes, yes. And if you want to email me because you email me already or we connect, I will make sure I connect you with Stephanie. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Rising Beyond podcast.
If you found hope and support through this podcast, there are a few things you can do to help us continue to provide meaningful and value-packed episodes. First, you can follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're willing, while you're there, you can give us a rating and review, which will help other survivors find us so we can offer them this help as well. And if you have the means and desire to do so, you can click on the Buy Me a Coffee link and help provide a small financial contribution to the show. This allows us to spend more time and energy finding the best guests and providing the most value to you. And if you want to work with me and the Rising Beyond community, go to www.risingbeyondpc.com for details.